there has been a lot of different things happening, and that's why I missed the last 2 weeks. I had a very strange week. It's been about 2 weeks ago you probably heard about the floods. There was lots of floods all over this part of the United States. This was Missouri and Arkansas, because I live in northwest Arkansas. And normally, I'm on top of a mountain. Normally, I'm not affected by it. But this time, it was bad. You probably heard about the floods all over Oklahoma and Missouri and Arkansas. We had 10 inches of rain, and it just flooded the whole town out and everything. We've been calling it the 20-year flood, because I know about 20 years ago, when after I first came here, we had a really bad one that flooded out the entire town. But this one, I went down into town to my office, and I had a client that day, and it had been pouring all night, but I didn't think there was going to be anything unusual. And I was sitting in there with the client, and it was just raining so hard, but we didn't know how bad it was going to be yet. Well, the client said, I hear water running somewhere. Now, if I've told you before, the office I had was a little concrete block building, and it was built into the dirt on three sides. So it was always kind of damp and musty in there because of that. But this time, we could hear water running, and I said, well, I thought it was just hitting the air conditioner. And then we looked in the little kitchenette, water was coming through the wall, running across the sink. And I said, oh my gosh, you know, we're trying to divert it into the sink. And the client said, no, there's something else. So we opened the bathroom door just as the wall burst. And I mean, this was it was the most surprising, horrible thing that you can imagine. It's the one part of the building that wasn't cement block. And it was like all of a sudden, you know, water will find the path of least resistance. And this whole wall that was just like sheetrock and a paneling just burst open. And we have this huge gusher waterfall shooting out into the bathroom. And it was just, I mean, it was the most unexpected thing you could imagine. Then it began shooting across the room and then out into the other part of the office. Of course, the man started grabbing paper towels. I said, forget it. That's not going to do anything. This is an avalanche. And we didn't know what to do, and it began to come out into the office, so we started unplugging things, and then I had him throw the circuit breaker switches so we wouldn't be electrocuted. And then I called my daughter up here at my house, and I told her we got an emergency. So she called the landlord, and in the meantime, my office is suddenly filling up with water. We ended up with 3 inches of standing water in the office. And I said, well, I'm just going to have to get out of here. I can't stay here. And the landlord happened to own the one motel, so he said, go on over there. Because here this client had driven, I think it was all the way from Wyoming. And he said, but I wanted to have my session. I said, well, I'm willing, but the office is not. So we had to try to get over to the motel to have the session. And in the meantime, we go out of the office into the street. The entire street is flooding. All of the culverts, everything was overflowing, and it was just waterfalls gushing out into the streets. It was just impossible to drive, and the whole town was going underwater. So that was quite an adventure. So we had to go and sit in a restaurant and wait until we could get some of it subsided enough that we could drive over to the motel so I can have the session with this man. And so I thought I was going to have to stay in town all night because it was really very, very bad. They said later, well, the restaurant across the street, the creek in back of it came all the way up and was coming in the restaurant. They said the courthouse had water in the basement. The motel was damaged. There was just water damage everywhere. And later when I tried to get home, we have a low water bridge we have to go over, had a new bridge with huge 9 feet culverts. There were two of them that they put in, and they thought it would never, ever flood. Well, I tried to get home, and the bridge was completely washed out. These 9-foot culverts were floating down the river. So that meant I was going to be stuck. So, I mean, this was a really very, very bad flood. But one thing that was fascinating was during the session, when I was finally had the session with the man in this motel room, anybody that knows my work knows the people that I work with, what do you want to call it? I call it the subconscious, the oversoul, the higher self, the higher consciousness, that part that I work with that helps the people I work with. And also, they're the ones that give me information for my books. Well, at this time, toward the end of the session, after we had already done everything the man wanted, I came to the end of it, and I just asked them, I said, what in the world happened today with my office? And they started laughing, and they said, oh, we washed you out, didn't we? And, of course, I didn't think it was very funny. And they were laughing about it, and I said, what's going on? And they said, you have to move. You have to move higher, to a higher level. And then they said, you have to move to higher ground. And then they started laughing. Ha ha, we made a joke, didn't we? But they said, it was time for you to leave that office and to move to something better. But knowing me, when I'm comfortable and everything is going all right, I just stay put until I'm forced out. And they said, oh, if we hadn't have burst on you, you wouldn't move. And they did. The wall burst through in the water, so I have no choice. I had to get out of there. And, of course, they thought this was very funny. But they said, no, you're going to be in a better place, and that you're going to be there for quite a while. So, anyway, by the next day, we had to get in there to try to get the furniture up on concrete blocks so that everything wouldn't get soaking wet. And when they opened the door to go into the office, the water had stopped coming through the wall, but we had 3 inches of water standing in there, and it came out the door just like a river. So I said, no, I got no choice. I'm going to have to go somewhere else because this is going to take too much renovation. So we got everything up. And then that next morning, I found there was an office about 3 or 4 blocks away from my present one that was a store, and it was for rent. So I ended up getting that. I guess it was sitting there waiting for me. Nobody had rented it. It'd been sitting empty a year or more. And it's about 4 times as much room as I had in the old one. I'd been in that old office for 4.5 years. I got comfortable with it, had a lot of very good energy. I had very good positive sessions there, but it didn't have any heat. I had to use little space heaters. So this new one has a lot of very good advantages. It does have central heat and air, about 4 times as big, so it's going to be really nice. So that's what we had to do then. I had to move everything over there to try to get everything set up in the new office before everything got soaking wet. And we had to do a lot of remodeling, painting, and everything. So anybody who had appointments with me during this time, we had to cancel everything so that I could get this moved and get set up for the new office. But I'm still in the same town, just about 4 blocks away from the old one, right on the highway. But it shows you never know what's going to happen, and it can be very unexpected. A lot of people think when something like this happens, oh, this is very bad, you know, why is this happening? But you got to look at the way they can see the bigger picture. and it was telling me it's time to move. And if you don't do it, we're going to push you out. Now, how many times does that happen in people's lives when all of a sudden they're just forced out of one situation because they're comfortable with it, they're stuck with it, and they're supposed to move into another situation? It could be a marriage, it could be a job, it can be anything. But all of a sudden, you're forced out of something because you weren't getting the clues, you weren't getting the messages. And then finally, I always say, they got to hit you up the side of the head. So at least it could have been a lot worse. But in the middle of all of that, then I got sick, and I never, ever, ever get sick. And I think it might probably was because of the stress and everything that was going on. And my kids had the flu, and I think that was what it was. My resistance was run down. So I didn't do the show that Friday because all of this was going on with moving the office, and then I ended up in bed all that day. So I didn't do the show that night. So these are just the things that happen. But so I just stayed in bed and kept programming my body that, okay, I got the message now. I'm resting, and so now we can get this out of my system. Because otherwise I don't get sick. Now, that was on Friday. I had to get a plane on Monday morning to, I was in a conference in Kansas. And the last thing I wanted to do was to get on a plane, believe me, because I still felt awful, you know, with the coughing and the stopped up head and everything and getting over the flu, and I wasn't eating right. I said the last thing I wanted to do was get on a plane. But at least it wasn't that far. I went up to Chicago and transferred over to Kansas City. Then I had to do a two-hour bus ride. This conference I didn't have on my schedule because it was a very different kind of a conference. There was about 120 people there, but they were all by invitation only. And that was why they told me, please don't put it on your website, because every time I list anything on my website that I'm going to be at, everybody comes. They want to sign up for it, and they wasn't going to have room. This has always been a very special by invitation only group. We were way out in the middle of nowhere in Kansas at Council Grove and very isolated, like a retreat. But one thing about this group that I thought was very fascinating, it started 40 years ago. This was the 40th retreat conference that they'd had. 40 years ago it was started. And it was started by a man named Elmer Green. And he was interested in metaphysics, and as you know, 40 years ago, these things were not known and not talked about, because that's when I started my work, was 40 years ago. Metaphysics was just something no one talked about. Now, this one, when it began, this man had an idea, and he began inviting people who were into these things. Now, in those days, the only way to get together and talk about these things was to go somewhere where you could hide. And that's essentially what you had to do. You couldn't talk to the average person about our belief systems, about metaphysics, about what we believe in and what we were finding out. You couldn't talk to the average person. Most of the people think it's work of the devil. It's a lot better now. But if you think 40 years ago, people who were making discoveries in this field had nobody that they could share it with. There was very, very few books out, and those that were the pioneers had no one that they could confide in. So this is where Elmer Green set up this conference and had them start to come. And they've been coming ever since. But they said, like at this one, they said, now we don't have to hide anymore. We can be more open because there's more people interested in this. But one of the first people that they had had come when they were first forming 40 years ago, in those early days, one of them was Robert Monroe. And you remember Robert Monroe is the one who founded the Monroe Institute out there in Charlottesville in Virginia. And he was the one who wrote the very first books about out-of-the-body experiences. And he had made all these discoveries on his own of how to go out of the body. And it was just like something totally unknown and unheard of. Nobody knew what it was. And so he began devising his own technique to do this. So he was definitely a pioneer. And in his first books, he talked about how he discovered he could do this and how he began to go out of the body. And then he began to learn how to manage it and control it. So he was one of the very first ones. So you can imagine somebody like that discovering something like this. Who is he going to talk to? Most people would think he was crazy. So he was one of the first ones that came to meet with these groups of people as they sat there in seclusion talking about things that nobody had ever heard of before. Wouldn't that have been wonderful to have been there in those days with an open mind, hearing about things that no one knew about? The things we take for granted now in metaphysics were totally unknown, and they were just beginning to scratch the surface. So that would have been wonderful and also frightening, because knowing you couldn't confide in people. Robert Monroe went on to found the Monroe Institute, which is still active today. He died a few years ago, where they have the Gateway programs and many other programs out there where they do teach his techniques now and how to go out of the body and how to use the brain synchronization, where they use machines now to show what's happening in the brains. So he was one of the pioneers, and they said there were many others in those early days talking about their discoveries. Now the things we take for granted were just beginning, just in the very budding stages, the baby stages back 40 years ago. So it was an interesting conference, but now it's almost like what they're talking about. Well, we've been there, done that, we've heard it. There was very little that I heard that I thought was new and different. That shows we've come a long way, made a lot of advances in those 40 years. But I was there that whole second week. This was last weekend. I couldn't do the show last Friday because I was out there. No telephones, nothing. When you're at these retreats, that you're away from everything. But that was the reason we didn't put it in my website, because I was asked to come and speak, but there was only invited people every year that are allowed to come to this conference. So anyway, that was what I was doing last Friday, so I didn't do a show then. So now I'm back home, and I'm feeling okay now, and I've got my office, we've got it repainted, and I'm finally going to start seeing clients this weekend, because I just told my office, cancel everybody until we get back to normal. But everything just keeps changing and moving. I think everyone sees this. Our whole world is this way. It's like everything. And the weather definitely is having strange effects. Since that flood, we've had three more rains, and we just had 4 to 5 inches the other night. The ground is so saturated that it can't hold anymore, so everything keeps running off into the rivers and the creeks. So there's a lot going on with water, and we do know water is cleansing. So we're going to have to see what this is all about, because times are changing, things are moving. A lot of things going on in our world as we shift into this new world and the new earth. But next week, I'll be at the UFO conference in Eureka Springs. And I've been helping with that for 20 years. I've been there since the very beginning when it started 20 years ago. So I'll probably have a guest there be somebody who's one of the speakers that I haven't had before. So we're going to try to get back to normal here anyway. I did want to say a few words about a wonderful woman who has just died, and those in the metaphysical field will be familiar with her, Verna Yeader. She was an old friend of mine. I've known her for many, many years in this field. I've spoken many times at her retreats and her conferences that she put on. Verna Yeader was a remarkable woman, and she did a lot of work with healing. And one of the things she worked with was what she called the spirit doctors. And she would go into trance, and these spirit doctors would speak through her, and they would heal a lot of the people that she would be at the conference or the talk. People would come up to her, and these spirit doctors working through her would heal. And it was very remarkable, and she did a lot of very important and valuable work. I had her on the show, oh, it's been a year or more ago, and she had come here to see me, too. I was very surprised because I didn't know she was sick. When I was in Australia and I was speaking at the Conscious Living Expo in Perth, she was supposed to be there because her name was on the program. She was supposed to speak just before I did. And I asked Patricia Hamilton, and well, you know, she wasn't there, and they said she had pneumonia. Now I found out that she didn't even go to Australia because she was very ill and her pneumonia was very bad. So I thought maybe she got sick when she got over there, but they said, no, she was sick, she didn't go to Australia. But I just thought it was a temporary thing. And then we just got the word she died on Good Friday. And it was a shock because someone working with such a powerful energy, you always think they can heal themselves. Don't they always say that? Healer, heal thyself. So I was surprised. And just before I went on the air tonight, her office called me because I kept wondering what happened. And by coincidence, I guess, they just called and I said, I can't talk very long because I got to go on the radio. But they was telling me it was cancer, but it was a very rare, unusual type of skin cancer. And it must have spread very quickly because she wasn't sick that long. But they said it started on her arms, and this is just roughly what I've been getting. I may not even have all of the truth of the facts, but they said it started and it just spread very quickly, so there wasn't anything anybody could do. And she died on Good Friday. So some of you people may know Verna Yeader, but she was very powerful in this. But it makes you wonder. We all come in to do a job. We have a work we do. We make a contract when we come into a life. There's always a reason. There's always something we're coming in to do. Now, her job was to heal people, and she did a lot of work good with that and spreading it and teaching it. She worked with hundreds of people. Why couldn't she heal herself? Why wouldn't the spirit doctors work on her? Now, that might be enough to cause doubt in some people, but we always know that when it's time, it's time. And when I've had Dr. O.T. Bonnet on the show, you know, I published three of his books, he always says in his books, no one dies until they're ready to die. Now, it may be hard for us to accept that, but nobody dies until they are ready to go. Now, that may not be consciously, but on the other level, it's time to go, they leave. And nothing is going to make them stay if it's not time for them to go. That's why I don't agree with doctors hooking patients up to machines and keeping them alive when they're not even there anymore. They've already gone. They're already out of the body, and all they're doing is trying to keep the shell alive, the vehicle, when they have no intention of coming back into it. So I know there's a lot of pros and cons, and there can be a lot of arguments about all of this, but this is what I've found. And he always said that no one dies until they are ready to die. I have a lot of clients that come to me when they have a child that has died, and this is always so difficult, and they all want to know why. Why did it happen? And when I do my sessions, it always comes out that the people, the part that I work with, the higher self, will always say they did their what they came in to do, they were finished, and it was time to go. There was no reason to stay any longer. They had accomplished what they had set out to do, and it was time to go. Now, that's very difficult for the survivors to understand, the parents, because we see things in a much more emotional way. But they always say, what did the child teach you while they were alive? They were here for a reason. They were here to teach you something. Usually the parents or those who are close to them. What did they teach you? What did you learn from the experience? If you learned one thing, it was worth it. No matter how difficult, how hard it is to understand, there's always a reason. Some of these reasons we probably won't even not know as long as we're alive. But we have to be grateful for that little bit of time that they were in our lives, because there was something there that they had to do, they had to finish, they had to accomplish. And that was what they were here for. Nothing is ever in vain. Nothing ever happens by accident. There's always a reason for everything once you start looking at it and examining it. And this is what I have to do in my work as a therapist. I work a lot with people who are grieving, who are in depression, who have gone through bad things in their life. And I have to work with these people to get help them to understand and see what's really going on. And it's not easy. It's very difficult because a lot of these people are trapped in the emotion, and they have to get through that because there's something there they had to learn. Another thing I found in my work, when you come into a life, you do make a contract. My book, Between Death and Life, talks about what happens when you die, where you go, what it's like on the other side. I've talked about it on this show, but maybe it might be time again on another one of these shows to go over it all again. But that when you die, you look at your entire life, and you see what everything you have done and what you have accomplished and what you have not accomplished. There may have been some things that you intended to do and you didn't do them. Or there may be things that you did that you wish you hadn't of. These are what we have to come back and straighten out. So we make a contract with the people involved. And we say, the next time around, this is what I'm going to work on. And you talk to these other people in your life that were in the other life, and you're going to make a contract, let's go back and do it again. You talk to them on the other side before you come back. You usually say, we didn't do such a good job, did we? Let's go back and do it again. This time you be the husband, I'll be the wife. You be the mother, I'll be the child. You can move the roles around any way you want. It's only a play anyway. It's only a game. You can make it any way you want to. You can live any type of a part or a role. So you take on different parts, different characters, so to speak, to try to work it out, anything that you need to work out the next time around. So you make this contract, and you try anyway. They say it's all that we expect is that you just try. If you can't work it all out, that's fine. You can always come back and do it again the next time. The important thing is to try to work out the best you can. There's always more opportunities. But you don't want to make the same mistakes again, because then you're really in a rut. You're going to have to keep coming back again and again to work it out. So the main thing is to try to do the best you can and work out any problems you have with those people that are in your life. Not easy. Because when we come in here, then the memories are taken away. I asked them one time, I said, wouldn't it be easier if we knew why we were coming into a life? If we knew the connection with the people in our life, what we were trying to work out, wouldn't that be easier? And they said, no, it wouldn't be a test if you knew the answers. This is just a school, that's all it is. And you come in to learn lessons. The two main lessons of Earth is you come to learn emotions and limitations. And they said Earth is a very challenging planet. A lot of them don't want to come here because it is very challenging. It's a planet of free will, which means everyone has free will. You come in with your nice little plan, your nice little contract. This is what I want to work out. But so does everybody else. All the other people come in with their nice little plans and their nice little contracts. Everything all wrapped up like a nice little Christmas present. This is what I'm going to do, and I don't want to come back again. I want to get it done so I can get out of here. And it seems so simple. But you get down here, and everybody else has their nice little plans, and because we have free will, it doesn't work out the way we think it was supposed to. Everything bumps together, and we have all these emotions. On the other side, you don't have to deal with such strong emotions. Love, hate, jealousy. Those are very strong things to work with. And we come in here, and we're forced into the middle of all of it. So it's not easy. But that's the school. That is the way it is. That's the test. This is the kind of school that you can't skip a grade, but you can have to take a grade over again. If you don't get it right the first time, you're going to have to do it again the second time. You're not going to get out of it either way. But you'll have to take it again if you don't get it right the first time. So we try to get it right the first time. But it's a very challenging school. And I know I've had people go through the birth experience, and they'll say, I don't want to go there. That is hell. Earth is hell. They said because that's where people hurt each other. So they don't want to come here because they know it's going to be challenging. It's going to be difficult. But to get back to the death part that I was talking about, when you make your contract, you also make an exit plan. It's all part of the contract. You decide, you have to decide, some way to exit the body. You make an exit plan. This is what I'll do. I'll live so many years. I want to get all these things worked out. I want to meet the people that I owe things to. We'll work all these things out. I'll live so many years, try to do the best I can, and then it'll be time for me to exit. And you decide how you're going to do it. You say, I don't know, what should I do this time? I've died so many hundreds of ways, and you have. How am I going to go out this time? You might say, well, I could just die a nice, simple death, lying in bed when I'm 100 years old. You might do it that way, or you might say, it might be interesting to die of cancer, just to see what the experience would be like. Now, this doesn't make sense on a conscious level, but on the other level, it does, because everything is only an experience. It's something we choose to go through, and how we handle it is the whole test of the whole thing. Or you might say, well, it'd be interesting. I think I'll get out here and get hit by a car. Or I'll be driving a car and get hit by a train. That'd be an interesting way to go out. But it doesn't matter which how you do it, you are going to exit the body one way or the other. Then once you exit the body, you go on to the other side, reevaluate the whole thing again, start all over again. But on the other side, there's also lots of schools, there's lots of things to do. It's really very, very wonderful over there. But I don't want to encourage anyone to go before it's time for them to go. Because if you do, you have not fulfilled your contracts. You have left too many loose ends to where you're going to have to come back and do it again. You never get out of it. You have to do it again with the same people, and it'll be worse the next time. That's why you try to work these problems out now. You don't get out of them by just getting out of the life or whatever you decide to do. You could sit in your front room and never go anywhere, never interact with people. But are you learning anything? Are you working out any karma? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? We don't know. We can't judge. We don't know what another person's contract is. But you all come in for a reason, and something you want to accomplish. Now, it'd be easy if you could find that out. That's what I do in my work. People come to me, and we get the higher self to tell them what they came in for. What's their purpose? That's the most common question I get from people is, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? Why am I here? Am I on the right track? Most common question, and you'll usually be given the answer if it is appropriate for you to know, because sometimes it's not time for you to know. But most people want to know why I'm here. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Then they can get on with it. So anyway, apparently Verna Yeager decided this was going to be her exit plan. That she would go out with this rare, unusual form of skin cancer. Even though she works as a very valuable healer, she was not able to heal herself. Maybe there's some more lessons in that there somewhere. I've known other healers, too, that were very famous, that they couldn't heal themselves. Maybe that's what it's all about. It's a lesson for everyone in some way. But the main thing is she did a great deal of good while she was here. And maybe she wasn't supposed to heal herself. But she did choose to go out that way. And we can't see the bigger picture. We know there's a lot more involved in everyone's life than we can see. Now, her life, I know, will be a legacy because she did accomplish quite a bit. But there's everyone's life, there's something there that others can get from it. Of course, when I was talking to her her friend that called me, they said, she's working on the other side. We know she is. She's over there with these spirit doctors, and she's probably one of them now, where she's going to be more actively participating in her same work and just from a different angle. And she's probably laughing about the whole thing. because now she knows the answers. I know she told me one time she wanted to know who were these spirit doctors she worked with. And the answer that came out was it wasn't for her to know. Well, now she has the answer. She's there. And she can see these things. And she's probably laughing about it because it's so clear. It makes so much sense. Once you get out of the body, once you get the blinders off, because we have these blinders when we come into the body, once you get all of that taken away, then all of a sudden everything is very clear, very simple, really. Makes so much sense. But we're not allowed to know when we come in. In my new book, The Convoluted Universe, Book 3, there was a lot in there about God and about the going to the other, to, you know, what we're supposed to accomplish, where we come from. I've got a lot of material that I'll be talking about in future shows. But one of the things it said was, when we're with God in the very beginning and before we come into the life, when we're on the spirit side, there is so much love, so much incredible love. There is so much compassion. You can't even imagine it. Once you experience it, they said you never want to leave that. It is so encompassing and so wonderful that it fills every single cell of the body, every single pore. When I've had people experiencing going back to God and going to the spirit side, it is such a wonderful experience that they would really never want to leave. But they choose to come to Earth because there's things they have to work out. Their lessons aren't finished. There are things they've made mistakes. There's things that have to be worked on. So they have to leave that and to come to Earth. And they come in, as I said, with their nice little plan. They have had consultation with the guides, the guardian angels, the masters over there. They have a lot of people that they can confer with, get advice. Now, these guides, guardian angels, elders and masters can't tell you what to do. They can only advise. It's up to you to make the decisions what you're supposed to do. I've said this before, too. There is no God sitting on a throne waiting to punish you. When you get over there and you look at your life and you see what you have done, you also see it through the eyes of everyone that you have come in contact with. You see it through their eyes. And some people say, I didn't know what I did hurt them like that. I didn't know what I said hurt them that way. I didn't mean to do that. I'm going to have to go back, and I'm going to have to make amends. I'm going to have to work this out. I've got to repay it. And that's when you make your decisions with your contracts. But you look at your life, no one punishes you, says you must come back and do thus and such. You judge yourself. Nobody else judges you. You look at what you've done and what you've been through. You judge yourself. And there is no harsher judge than you yourself. So you decide what it is you're going to do when you come back. You decide that what you're going to try to work out. A lot of people say when they're here and I'm talking to me and they say, I don't remember writing this script. They laugh about it, but really you did. You decided the things that were going to be in your life. Now, that doesn't mean it's set in stone, because it's not. We are constantly given the chance we can change things. That's all it's all about. That's what free will is all about. Interact communicating with people, we can make changes. If we don't like the way our life is going, we can turn it around. You create your own reality. You create everything that is in your life. And once you realize that, the power that you have tremendous power. Once you realize you created everything that is in your life, every situation, you did it for a reason. Once you understand that, you don't like what's in your life, and many people get upset when I tell them that you created this. If you don't like it, if it's not what you want, then you can uncreate it. That's how powerful your mind is. You can change the circumstances. You have power to do it. Anything that's in your life, it doesn't matter what it is. Once you look at it, God will never force you into a corner. There will always be a way out. You will always have a choice. No one ever pushes you into a corner. Was that somebody caller?
Yes, this is Leanne in Louisiana. How you doing?
Okay, we only got about another 5 minutes. I was coming into the wind-up. Okay, what did you want to ask?
Well, I saw on your site or on the little letter that I could get a past life reading.
Well, what I do is therapy, and it's past life regressions.
Okay.
But I do it in my office.
Okay.
And you would have to call my office to set up appointments.
Okay.
And my sessions run about 4 hours.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's nothing fast, because I only see the person one time, and people come from all over the world here to Arkansas. And like I said earlier, I got a new office now.
Right.
The other one was flooded out. But, yes, people come here to Arkansas to have sessions with me, and we do find the answers to their problems. But you'd have to call my office they have my schedule to see if there's any openings. And
okay.
I know I'm booked up for several months in advance.
Sure. I have one question.
Okay, but let me give you the 800 number if you do want to call.
I see it on your site.
Oh, do you? Okay. The 800 number.
When in this life, do we choose it and then we experience it here?
Yes.
But it seems like we have free will here.
Yes.
So if we're setting up these contracts before we come over here to meet with certain people, have children with certain people.
Yeah.
We picked those before we came here, right?
Yes, you pick your parents, you pick your circumstances.
What about your husband that you have children with?
All of that is set up. And sometimes, if you have more than one husband, there was something you had to work out or something you had to learn before you went on to the next husband. But yes, you make arrangements with all of this. And we make mistakes.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we make bad decisions.
If you pick it before you came, I guess you recognize it. That's why you choose them here, because you recognize signs that that's them.
Yes. You know, a lot of people, when you first see somebody, you'll say, I have a feeling I know you.
Uh-huh.
Or a feeling of familiarity. And there's also people you meet that you say, oh, I don't like them. I don't want anything to do with them.
That's right.
They always say, trust your instincts. Because all the memories are taken away whenever you come into the life, and it's for a reason. Because you're not supposed to know. You're supposed to just, like I said, it's not a test if you knew the answers.
Now, our children, they picked us too, so it was already pre-planned, so they were kind of like cheering us on.
Children choose you.
Before
they come in.
Before I came in as well?
Yes.
So
they decide, even after you're alive and you're married and everything, these children will say, okay, I want that woman for a mother and that for a father. Because sometimes there's other things they want to work out with you. Or sometimes it's just, this would be a good mother and father to teach me something.
Right.
But there's always a reason, and nothing is left by chance. Even adoptions, they know in advance that they will pick these parents for the biological, body, the characteristics of the body.
Uh-huh.
But they know they are not going to stay with that person. They also know who is going to adopt them.
That was me. I was adopted, so.
Yeah, this is all set up. But as I said, this late plans can go awry because of everybody else involved. Things can happen, and maybe it doesn't quite work out the way we start out, with our original plan.
Right, so we make the original plans, and sometimes people make choices that don't allow it to happen.
Yeah, in which case, if you can realize that, you can change your life. You have power to turn it around once you realize it's not going like I thought it should go. Because you do have power to change things in your life. You're not stuck, in other words.
And because that's my question. If it's pre-planned, but yet we have free will, something doesn't, those two don't really mix too well. I mean, either it's pre-planned and it's already mapped out, I just need to sit back and let it and ride it, or I have free will to choose at any given moment.
Yes.
So I guess that's
that
was my question.
If it was all predestined, you'd be like a puppet. You would, somebody else would be making all your decisions for you. You wouldn't learn anything. So you have a basic plan. And then what happens after that has to do with free will. But it's not set in stone, this must happen, because then it's predestination, which you don't learn anything that way. You learn through your mistakes.
So is it our inner guidance system that kind of guides us on our contractual path?
Uh-huh. Trust your instincts.
Okay.
Your inner feelings. Because, you feel things, and especially women are more intuitive than men. Men have them too, but I think they deny it, to where you feel it inside that there something isn't right, or you trust your instincts.
Okay.
Your gut. They say, listen to your gut. That will usually be your guides and guardian angels trying to give you messages. They love to help you, but they can't interfere. They can only help you if you ask for help. And they say that nagging feeling you have sometimes is them trying to get a message across to you.
Oh, the nagging feeling, or the feeling
that doesn't
feel right.
Yeah, that little nagging feeling, and it's something inside you.
That's not right?
Yeah, they're trying to tell you something. So you learn to listen to that. And something is going the way it should, it'll just go with the flow. It'll be very easy. If obstacles are put in the way, then that means you're not supposed to go that way.
Really?
They're trying to tell you something. It's like swimming upstream. It becomes difficult. Then
because
it's time.
I put fingers on things that I wanted.
Well, then it's time to step back and look at it and say, is this really what I want to do? Because there's obstacles here. This doesn't seem right. If it's right, it will be easy. Everything will just fall into place.
Really?
Okay. I'm watching the clock.
Sure, I know.
Pull the plug on me here.
Go ahead. I was going to close it down, but I appreciate your time, and I'm going to step on back and let you finish.
Okay, because I just had one more thing to say before I go off the air. But you call my office, 1-800-935-0045. And my schedule is also on there of all the places I'm going to be. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
And I wish you luck.
Thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to finish up with one remark there, is that whenever we come in with this life, that then all the memory has to be taken away of the other side, and the memory of making the contracts and everything has to be set up that way. And people come in, and they're saying, I got to remember. And then the minute they're born, it's, I don't remember anymore, because it has to be taken away. And they, you know, the higher self says, you don't know how we admire you people for coming in. Because to come in like this, with all memory erased, and to think you're all alone, they said, that is remarkable, because no one is ever alone. And they say you have to find your way back all by yourself. That to them is remarkable, the courage it takes to be a human, to come in, think you're all alone, and discover it by yourself. I'm not alone. And to find your way back to the source by yourself. So I encourage everyone, anyway, as I was telling her, listen to your instincts. Your whole life is ahead of you. You can make changes if you don't like it. I'm going to have to go off the air now before they pull the plug. All right, next week I'll be at the UFO conference in Eureka Springs, and I'll be doing an interview there. But I hope everybody, at least you're high and dry and not flooded like we are. Okay, good night, everyone, and thanks for listening.